really a blessing to get to know the Lord better and through service opportunities that we saw today, and also the choir song, "Oh, I Want to Know Him More," opportunity to repent in that song Virginia sang, just different messages God sends us. It's great to think about who Jesus is to us. He tells us more and more about himself as time goes on. If you want to exercise to beef up your devotional life and draw close to God in your quiet time, simply write the phrase, "Jesus is," and then as many things as you can recall, or as many things as God has showed you about himself, you fill in that phrase, "Jesus is." Last week was a Savior for everybody, and this week Jesus is your goodness, your goodness. And I remember a time where I felt like I needed God's goodness and help finishing up a course in college, and it was an essay question as part of a test I was taking, so I filled out three whole pages in answer to one question. Wouldn't you know a preacher would do that kind of thing? And then to my surprise and intimidation, the professor wrote me back a two-page response for my three questions, pointing out all my grammatical errors and all my idea errors. And it was only by the mercy and grace of God that I moved on to the next grade. Well, what if the Holy Spirit wrote to one particular church 29 chapters that he would inspire an apostle to say, "I want all this information to go to those dear Christians because I love them and they need all this correction"? It would certainly be a blessing, but maybe a little bit of an intimidation thing. But that's what happened when God wrote to the church at Corinth through the apostle Paul. One letter, two letters, 29 chapters worth of good news and correction that they needed. And the church at Corinth had a lot of things going for it. Center of Greek culture, education, wealth. Church had a lot of knowledge, a lot of good stuff around the church. Church was very filled with spiritual gifts. If it was a baseball team, they had excellent pitching, excellent hitting, wonderful fielding. They had everything you needed, spiritually speaking, to be healthy. The Corinthian church. All the gifts of the Spirit were active. Healing, miracles. They had preachers come through. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Peter. Apollos, who was probably a better speaker than Paul or Peter. And all the things they had going for them. And yet in the midst of that, they began to take their eye off Christ and began to think that their goodness was based on just themselves. And so Paul attacks the problem of self-sufficiency versus Christ's sufficiency. That Christ would be their goodness, and they wouldn't be good on their own. And he brought some good news to them. Pride says, "I am good without God." Humility says, "God is my goodness, and he's very good." And so the theme, Christ our righteousness, Christ our sanctifier, is 120 years ago, A.B. Simpson would say, to be a Christian, have Jesus live through you, let him be your goodness, because we don't have goodness on our own. So Paul warns them. He says some interesting things to them. He says, remember, God chose you, and God chose what was foolish, lowly, weak, and despised. So I always wanted to give that biblical response to somebody who asked me how I was doing. How are you doing? And I say, foolish, lowly, weak, and despised. And how are you? But not to leave us there in despair, Paul said, let him who boast in the Lord. So we turn from being down, recognizing our spiritual need, to being thankful. Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? Corinthian church with all those resources. And he came to bring us Christ, the message Paul gave. I think one of the heartaches we have as believers and as Christians is that often our expectations about life and about spiritual life, we think begins and ends with us. We have high expectations of ourselves. Like the rich young ruler, Jesus said, you know the commandments. He said, I kept all these since I was young. He thought he was doing pretty well. And when we have high expectations of ourselves, our faith is misplaced. really our expectations are to be from God. We have high expectations toward others. And often we really, the rubber meets the road in our lives when we think of other believers often. We want every 15-year-old to be the Apostle Paul. Come on. We want every 40-year-old to be like Moses. Let's go with that maturity thing. There was a great Bible teacher from Dallas Seminary who said, in expecting things of yourself, to be disappointed with yourself means you have believed in yourself instead of Christ. To admit to ourselves, we don't make very good saviors. We don't have very much righteousness without God's intervention. Now, the Bible teacher went on to say, when it comes to being disappointed in others, feeling like, oh, I thought things were going to be that person be an excellent follower of Jesus and they're stumbling here and there. The Bible teacher said to be disappointed with others means you have believed in others instead of believing in Christ. If I was a Pentecostal preacher, I would ask you this morning, turn to the person next to you and say, you don't make a very good Savior. Turn to the person next to you and say, you don't have a lot of righteousness without God coming into your life. And so Paul came to the church at Corinth. He wrote the letter. Jesus is your goodness. He's your holiness, your redemption. And boast of Him. Boast of Him. We boast of Him at communion. We remember Jesus. In Jeremiah 17, God tells us those who trust in man are under a curse. We can't save ourselves. Others cannot save us. The church, being as wonderful as it is, the church makes a bad Savior. The church has a great Savior, but the church makes a bad Savior. Jesus coming to take His rightful place. Jeremiah went on to say, blessed are those who trust in the Lord. A feeling of God's goodness shared with us and being worked in our lives. One of my favorite good news passages from the book of James is James chapter 1, verse 17, which simply says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And you think of all the good things in life that you'd remember from being a toddler to being the age you are. Every moment of joy or moment you felt like you were helped, encouraged in any manner, that came from God. Every good and perfect gift came from Him. Life, clothing, shelter, not everybody has those. Food, family, Bible, church, heaven, Jesus. God is our goodness. In Jeremiah, when pictured that the Lord would come and save people, he was called the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Sam Shoemaker, who was the founder of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, once had this thought. He was from the Allegheny County area. He said he prayed that Pittsburgh would be as famous for God as it was for steel. Maybe not so much famous for steel anymore. But would that be said of the life of a Christian? When people thought of the church at Corinth, the believers in Irwin, North Huntington, Norwin Alliance Church. Something about God's goodness being with those people. Beyond their gifts, beyond their abilities, beyond what they could do. It was something about God's goodness that took over their lives and made permanent changes. How wonderful He is to do that. He's sufficient. I knew a retired Marine drill sergeant who would crassly give a testimony, but in a heartwarming way. He said, everything good about me that's good is Christ. Everything bad about me that's bad is me. And he wasn't saying that to treat himself as a piece of dirt on the side of the road. He had a high level of accountability. He knew if there was going to be goodness in his life, it would come from God alone. He held on to Christ as if not only getting to heaven would depend on it, but living as a Christian tomorrow would depend on it. The goodness of Christ I think Christ's righteousness is so wonderful, the amazing miracle that you and I should get to heaven someday through the mercy and grace of God, but just as big a miracle, I think, you and I, as in need spiritually as we are, would be able to live in the path of God's righteousness, again, as a gift. It's a miracle, I tell you. And it's wonderful that the Lord brings about. Claim His goodness as your goodness. He would like to share that. I know in a practical way, as a father, I could be a pretty decent civil father on my own. I know about right and wrong. I know about discipline. I can kiss my kids on the head before they go to bed. That's it. But with Jesus' goodness in me, much different father. Kind, merciful, higher standards of walk this way. Good. I can be a pretty decent husband on occasion. On my own, know how to be civil. Communication, kindness, flowers on Mother's Day, whatever the case. But with Jesus, totally different kind of father. His goodness, claim as yours. Once a grandchild went to visit his grandfather, who was a retired music teacher. The grandfather liked to tell stories about music. He picked up a tuning fork. He struck it and said, "Grandson, that's the middle C. Listen." Bing. The middle C. He says, "It's always right." He said, "Grandson, the guy next door sings. He sings out of tune. Off key. Needs help all the time. Grandson, the piano in the next room is not, doesn't work right. It's flat. It needs retuned all the time, grandson." And he smiled and struck the tuning fork. Middle C. It was middle C 1,000 years ago. It'll be middle C 1,000 years from now. It is good. All the time. God would say to us in His Word, Jesus, our goodness, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever your yesterday was, Jesus was good for you. You can look back and see Him if you missed Him yesterday. Whatever your today is, Jesus is very good today. He's as good today as He'll be when He comes back. You can know His goodness today. And forever, Jesus will be good for you. Your righteousness, boast in Him. And to see ourselves as loved and accepted in His sight through His grace, to share His goodness. And Graham had a conversation with Lloyd Ogilvie, Senate chaplain. He said, "I like to pray this for people." He says, "I pray that people will be as wonderful as they were in God's eyes when He created them." You know, God looks at us and says, because of Christ, we would be beautiful in His sight. Hey, beautiful in His sight. You see all these beauty contests, you know, Miss Pennsylvania and Mr. Universe, whatever. And God sees His children and says, my delight. I share with them my very goodness. We could walk in that goodness that He would share. Take it on as yourself. He will bring it to pass, carry it on until Jesus comes back, since He began this good work in you. And to yield ourselves to the goodness of God in the aspect of our lives, I'll share what Ann Graham said she does. She says, give the Lord your Sundays and your Mondays through Saturday. Give it to Him and watch Him be good there. Give to the Lord your actions and your attitudes. The actions we take, the attitudes we have, let them be an opportunity for the goodness of God. Give to the Lord your dignity and your relationships. This is a big one. If you let Jesus be your dignity, you will never have to fight for your dignity again. You will always have it as a gift from God. Give Him your dignity and your relationships. Give Him your time and your thoughts, your burdens and your blessings, your family and your children. His goodness would like to be there for you. Give Him your griefs. He's tasted every tear. Give Him your goals. He has better goals for you than you have for yourself. Give him your health and give him your heart. Let anybody who boasts boast about Jesus. He is our goodness. And we can taste and see he's good when we meet him, walk with him throughout the week. Pray with me as we prepare to be with Jesus at the Lord's Supper. Supper he established. A blessing for us and a remembrance to him. Let's pray as God's people.